Okay, I want to ask you a serious question.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, a really serious question. Craig Kelly, you know him really well, okay? Yeah. He's been mentioned as the next CEO of Collingwood.
Caught me would on the hop.
Would that be a good appointment?
Oh, he would be able to do it, no question. But
he hasn't worked in football club land per se, though, ever, has he? Well, he did many, many years ago in marketing at Collingwood.
Yeah, he's worked in footy clubs. He's run footy clubs without actually having any role.
How? Because people out there won't know what you're talking about.
Well, he's the most powerful football agent in the business.
A mover and shaker. But how did...
Tell people how that works, though. So he is as influential in the coaching landscape as anyone, because he manages about six of them.
Right.
The media landscape, probably more so than anything else. There's not a broadcaster, radio, television that he hasn't got his fingerprints all over, because he manages all the talent, most of the talent. So he's a kingmaker. He can move and manipulate and go, oh, he's out of AW, I'll get him and swing him from there. So he does all that. And then he's not as hands on with the players these days. We've got about 300 plus players.
Right. So would he be, in your mind then, based on all that, you think that he would be a major coup for Collingwood?
Okay, so he does. Beyond that, he's got a marketing business that runs every major event the AFL has.
Yep.
So he looks after all the marketing for the AFL, essentially.
Yep.
Grand final week, all the, the marquees and all that, was all of his stuff. So he got every box ticked in terms of what you need to do as a CEO.
Okay.
Maybe diplomacy might. He might have to work on his diplomatic skills.
And he needs to get back to you too. If you send him a text message or ring him, he's not good on follow up.
Yeah, well, he's on long service leave.
Where's he gone?
I don't know. I don't know where he is, to be honest.
Let's stick with Collingwood, because they're in the news this morning, or their CEO, not their CEO, their president, Jeff Brown. He says that the AFL's push for a standalone Tasmanian team is half-baked and it's premature. He says the AFL are massively under-investing in AFLW. That is where we should be directing our future investment, not this half-baked, premature idea of Tasmania. We've got a commission, he goes on to say, that is three members down and it's been led by a CEO who isn't going to own any of this. Pretty strong stuff from a club president.
He's a supporter of
Tasmania. Broken rank here. He's broken rank here.
Well, he is a supporter, but he reckons it's too early. That's essentially what's going on here. So he thinks it should happen, but he thinks it's too early, which is pretty controversial given there's...
Yeah, but no one else is saying that.
No, I know.
Everyone else appears to have rolled over and agreed with the AFL that, okay, we need to push into Tasmania.
You say
now.
Rolled over. Maybe they are genuinely supportive.
Well, they weren't, though. A lot of them have changed their view and opinion over time.
Yeah, when they got the information. So they had an opinion without having anything put in front of them.
Maybe they've rolled over. Maybe they've just decided, okay, this is what the AFL want, and if we want to get a little side deal with the AFL, then we need to all vote in line with the AFL and what they want.
It's lots of decisions that that the AFL has to make. The point about Gill is right. And I know we had a little laugh about it in the first hour, but what's the hold up? Why is there no CEO being appointed?
Because they can't. Well, the easy answer to that is because they haven't been able to identify anybody to fill the role, which clearly, in my mind, strikes out Andrew Dillon and also Travis Ohl. Because if they were the right person, what is stopping the AFL from appointing them as Gill's successor right now?
My point. So if in February 8, or big announcement coming out of AFL press conference, we announce Andrew Dillon as a CEO. Why are we waiting so long? Why can't we announce? I mean, surely they've done their homework. I mean,
it's a well-paid job.
Yeah, and find the person, appoint him, and then he and Gil, in conjunction, guide us through this pretty tumultuous, really busy time between now and the start of next year.
Mm, no, I agree.
I don't know the answer. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm going, well, where's the holdup? I mean, why all of a sudden has this become such a... I know it's always a big decision, but why are we sitting on it? Sort that out for me, yeah? And I had the same thoughts about the Essendon job as well, but clearly they had someone in sight.
Yeah, but they were going through after...
They had issues.
Yeah, no, they had issues though, but they then had to go through a long process, which they went through. And
when did Gil say
in their
that he
search
was
for
down?
The CEO?
When did Gill announce he was stepping down?
Well, all the way back, I would think probably June or July.
That's what I would have thought.
Yeah.
Surely that's long enough.
Of course it is.
We're in December. Appoint your CEO.
Is the job that difficult that there is nobody out there that's qualified?
No, it would be a difficult job. No question about
that. I'm not underestimating that, but is it that difficult that there's nobody in this country capable of fulfilling that role?
I wouldn't think so.
So, well, there must be somebody.
Yeah, you've done your worldwide search. Everyone's done what they've been. Are they paid someone to go and identify someone?
Yeah, the whole Brendan Gale thing is a really interesting conversation too, because I keep hearing that there's been a strong push from club CEOs for him to be the successor,
right.
But apparently it isn't the direction that the commission wants to go in.
Why?
I don't know. I haven't been able to get to the bottom of that.
You can't ask
Maybe they don't feel that he's had the all-round experience, the commercial experience, to be able to deal with the broadcasting rights and those massive, huge issues that the AFL are confronted with. But you'd also say, in answer to that, you'd say, well, the deal's been put away for such a long time now.
Yeah.
You don't need to worry about that, and that person in that role could learn what they need to learn in that next period of time.
Yeah, and it would be good to have someone who's going to do the job be involved in some of the big decisions that are being made, broadcasting rights and everything else over the past couple of months, to sit alongside Gill in making those decisions. It'll be interesting to see where they go. This comes off the temper text from Matt. Disappointing the lack of airtime the Australian Open gets. We've got one of the strongest fields we've had in years, men's and women's. All we get is 5 minutes on Cam Smith. Hey, endless coverage of tennis, cricket, footy and rugby. Matty, when we say lines are open, which they are always, you can talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can give us
a call.
You can talk.
Put it on the agenda.
I'm happy to talk golf between now and 9 o'clock if that's what you want to do. But we're open to have anyone on. We'd have Cam Smith on the heartbeat. We'd have Adam Scott. We'd have any golfer on. I'd be very happy to talk to them. But
hey guys,
the biggest.
And I'll tell you this other point I want to raise too. Just to throw it out there, in and around the discussion about the unpopularity of the Australian cricket team. Had this conversation with somebody yesterday about what a breath of fresh air the Socceroos are in comparison, how likable the Socceroo players have appeared to be by comparison to the Australian cricket team. Have you invested in any of that or not?
Why?
Maybe there's a difference now. They feel like they give a lot more because it's a one-off World Cup event that they're actually participating in. Maybe that's what we're...
Do you think the cricket team's unlikable?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
Because that's what everybody says. People I know who used to love cricket say that they don't like this Australian cricket team. They don't like the cricket team.
But don't like them or don't relate to them and there's no characters.
It's all the same thing. Like, and you're probably right in saying that. We had great big characters, big personalities that were part of the team.
Mm.
And it's almost like it's been washed out of
cookie cutter.
Our cricket.
Too cookie cutter.
Well, yeah, maybe they're afraid in this day and age, maybe they're afraid to be and display more personality because they're going to get whacked by everybody out there.
Yeah.
Every time they pop their head up and do something or say something or have their picture taken somewhere.
Who's the last great Australian character from a cricket
From a cricket perspective, a character in the Australian cricket team?
Yeah.
Warnie, I'm just trying to think.
0433 98 11 16 or ring through 1300 736 736.
A character with personality, but there was a lot of them around at the same time.
Andrew Simons was a character.
He was a character.
Sadly and tragically, there are a couple who have passed away.
Do you think there's a blandness about the way the Australian cricket team is portrayed?
I'll give you my thoughts on the cricket because I've been thinking about this, and that might be part of it. I don't necessarily find them unlikable, but there aren't any great, relatable characters, I don't think. Mm. Sport's got to have a consequence to it to get you fully invested. This is where I sit, as a spectator, right? There has to be consequences. If you want to sit down and be immersed in sport, like I'm watching the Australian Open, the golf. Right. I love it because to be...
So when you say consequence, though, are you talking about...
Win or lose, there needs to be...
So you're talking about like what we're witnessing now with the World Cup or
something. So the BBL, for me... It just floats in the ether because no one cares. There's no consequence for the Renegades beating the Strikers. Right. No one cares about that. used to be when the series of Test cricket came here in the summer. Mm. If we didn't win, the Benson and Hedges one day, if we didn't make it through the final, as a young cricket lover, that'd destroy me.
Mm.
Who cares, Windies Australia here, this Test match? You know?
So there's too much cricket being played.
Well, there's no consequence to it, Tim. There's no. Oh yeah, okay, bang. Oh, there's a one. Those one day.
That's because it gets lost in the schedule. Everything gets lost in the schedule of cricket. Played.
No wonder there was 150 people at the MCG.
Well, no one knew that it was on.
Yeah, no one cared, Tim. No, who cares? Go and watch the game. Who cares if Australia win or England won? Who cared? England just won the World Cup with the T20. There was consequence to that, right? You become a T20 World Cup.
Mm.
So, yeah, well, okay, I'll invest in that because I want to be the World Cup. Then they go and play 3 one-day games that England didn't care about, clearly. Couldn't have given 2 stuffs. In fact, I was watching, I felt sorry for them having to front up and play these inconsequential one-day games.
You are the great test here.
I love cricket.
I know. You do love cricket. You love cricket more than anyone I know. And when you call me and say, Wisp, the game is in trouble, that's when the Wisp stands up and takes some notice.
You stood up, did you?
I stood up. I was sitting down at the time when I took the call. I stood up, which was difficult because I was driving at the time. But I thought, well, if you're thinking that,
there must be
a lot of people out there that love the game of cricket and have been invested in the game of cricket that are no longer loving the game of cricket.
Hand on my heart, it was an 80-20 split for me, who was suffering from major dental surgery yesterday. So right. I was on the couch in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And I sat there and watched 80%
golf,
20 cricket.
Right.
And that would never
That is
happen.
Extraordinary.